zones in the set. Make a quarter mil, no sweat. Last time that I checked, I'm the streets' voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked, first you get the money, the respect, then the power and the hoes come next. Last time that I checked, I've been self-made from the dribble. I was been saying I'ma kill him. Nah, playing no games with you niggas. Pop clutch, switch lanes on you niggas. Nah. I laid down the game for you niggas. Taught you how to charge more than what they paid for you niggas.
On the I gotta let this roll niggas, for a minute. That's my shit right here. What's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host, checking in with you, ready to chop up some good game. Glad to have everybody in the house. Y'all need to go get my dude's album, man. Victory Lap by Nipsey Hussle. This shit bump. Check. It was five chains on my neck. It was no smut on my rap. Last time that I checked. Nigga, this my shit. Anyway, y'all, man, we're ready. We're here to chop up some game. The phone number is 818-850-5404, ladies and gentlemen. That is the number. Give me a call up. Let me know what's on your mind, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take that real quick commercial break. Let everybody know we're live so they can join us. We'll be right back after this message.
Learn the truth about the game by joining dating and life coach Mr. Locario and Miles Cunningham live in New York City on Saturday, April 14th at the NYC Seminar and Conference Center for the Truth About the Game seminar. In this seminar, Mr. Locario will teach you exactly what you need to know to be successful with women. Space is extremely limited, so purchase your tickets today at MrLocario.com. That's MRLOCARIO.com. MrLocario.com.
Every place that African men were dropped off during the Middle Passage, they brought with them martial culture, martial aesthetic, and martial posture, born in Africa. To Brazil, they brought capoeira. To Jamaica, la ja. To the West Indies, calinda and broma. To Venezuela. What is known about the Afro-American contribution? What did the warriors from Africa bring to the United States? Well, I can tell you, in one word, a lot. Find out more about the history of the Afro-American contribution to martial arts in the film Urban Dragons, a documentary available for instant download that's paired with some amazing bonuses detailing some of the most deadly men that this world has ever seen, using their skill to empower and defend their communities. Experience the sense of empowerment that comes with reconnecting with the African martial aesthetic. Visit www.urbandragonsfilm.com and tap into a missing piece of us that will make us so much better in so many ways. Visit www.urbandragonsfilm.com.
What's up, family? Are you struggling to get your business off the ground? In today's digital economy, anyone can start a company from home, but only a few will know how to launch their brand online and actually make it successful. If you want to uncover the same knowledge that 6, 7, or even 8-figure earners know how to use and generate, then go to bigmoneysites.com/Tariq and get the free ebook, The 6 Secret Steps to a Money-Making Website. Inside, you'll learn the 6 essential elements you must know to include on your site to start getting sales. So again, go to bigmoneysites.com/Tariq.
Do you have bad credit? Have your credit applications been rejected due to unemployment, slow pays, or even identity theft? We can help. The Credit Pro specializes in removing bad credit history from credit reports. You only pay when credit items are actually deleted from your report. If you can't get a car loan, can't get a mortgage, or can't get a credit card, our team of certified FICO professionals can repair your credit. Even if you've been the victim of identity theft or have previously declared bankruptcy, we can help. Call and schedule a free evaluation to start repairing your credit. We specialize in removing bad credit items. You don't pay until items are removed. Call 844-631-4137 and schedule your evaluation today. The call is free and the evaluation is free. Call us today and start putting your credit problems behind you.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Chris Man, everybody. and I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's up, family? We are here. We are back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed, and I'm glad to be here with you guys. The phone number to call in, 818-850-5404. I may or may not take calls, but that's the number just in case. I hope everybody has their Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 DVDs for Black History Month. Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. You need to have them if you don't have them. And also get your 1804 Hidden History of Haiti DVD at 1804movie.com. You can get the DVD or the instant download. But it's Black History Month, and you need to get that popping now. We only have 1 week left in Black History Month, and you should make it do what it do. Also, this week, we are going to have a Kickstarter for the Ism Radio Travel / Reality Show with me and my lovely co-host, Miss Layla, Miss Bree. We're going to be traveling around the country, showcasing a lot of the black businesses that's all around the country out there. There's a lot of great hidden gems that a lot of people don't know about, and we're going to take the initiative and go out here and promote a lot of these places that you all need to know about and all of us we need to know about. Family, it's very important that we start taking control of our narratives. We need to take control of what goes on and what information is known about our neighborhoods, our communities. And it's just time to take that step and take that initiative. A lot of thorough businesses out there that people just don't know about. And we need to start letting people know who's out there. And not only that, it's very important for us to have a media apparatus that we don't have to go through no middlemen for. Because that's what's up with media now. This is what I'm talking about on today's show. I'm talking about the minions of mainstream media. In particular, I'm talking about a lot of the Shea Butters, the Moist Niggas, the Blavity Blacks, the so-called black media that's really just white media with Negro minions running around. And we really have to understand the gravity of how the so-called traditional black media is pretty much useless at this point. They're nothing but minions of white supremacy. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but all they do is tap dance and buck dance for white mommy, white daddy. And we just have to come to terms with that. And that's okay. This is why we're here. And we have to support things like what we're doing over here. This is why it's very important to support these things financially, to put eyes on them, because we're putting in a lot of real work right now. And we have a track record of being consistent about putting in work. about talking about what's going on out here. There's a reason why. If you look at a lot of the Negro minions on social media, you notice many of them don't have a lot of followers. If you look at like Twitter, some of the writers from some of these mainstream quote unquote media sites, you notice a lot of them don't have any. They don't have a whole big following. You have a couple of shea butters with a significant following. But for the most part, a lot of these blabbity blacks and shea butter niggas, you know, they don't, and bedwinches, they don't have a huge following like that. And that's because nobody really takes them seriously. They're just used as pawns by the white supremacist media apparatus. So they're not taken too seriously. They're used as shields. So the white supremacists can put out stories and have a black face to cover for them. That's their primary goal, for them to throw dirt on black society, and they provide the black face for it. But, you know, people like me, people like others, people like me and others, rather, we have a significant following. You notice a lot of the mainstream media outlets, they follow me, and a lot of stuff that I tweet, they run with it. If they want to know what's really happening in black society, they look at what's going on my Twitter timeline, because they understand that we have a real pulse of what's happening in black society. They understand that. And more of us in black society, we have to understand that too. We have to understand how important that is for us to continue to take control of our narrative. Because anything, a lot of times when I tweet stuff, I just tweet random stuff and it'll be in mainstream media. USA Today, The Washington Post, The New York Times, it'll be in the mainstream media hours later. Just random shit I post. Or I get a call from Fox News or CNN or HLN, one of those networks. So they keep a pulse on what's happening over here, because they know we're bringing the real and not unfiltered. But the thing is, we got to watch some of these so-called traditional black media places, because they will deliberately spread misinformation. And there's a perfect example of that today. Today, a white evangelical Christian leader named Billy Graham died today. He was like 99 years old, and I could have swore he died years ago. I didn't know Billy Graham's ass was still alive. Now, some of y'all younger folks might not know who Billy Graham is. Now, he has children. I know his son, Fred, let me talk to the chat room. His son, Fred Graham, where is his church? That's his son. Because I don't keep up with too many of these evangelist white supremacists. I don't keep up with them too much, because all of them are basically one and the same. But I think the dad might have a church in North Carolina somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. But Billy Graham died. And all the Fox News people, they're mourning him, and all the right-wingers and the alt-righters are mourning him. And I saw a couple of the black, quote-unquote, media outlets mourning him. Somebody told me what Shade Room was kind of commemorating his death. That was very interesting. And BET, I think they might have said something. I'm looking at Shade Room now to see. Somebody told me that I like to verify stuff before I put it out there. I'm trying to see if they said something about Billy Graham. I'm looking on the Shade Room. I'm trying to see. There's a lot of stories and stuff on there. Okay, yeah, I do see it. Yeah. They got it on there. Reverend Billy Graham, known as America's pastor, dies at 99. So they're putting a little commemoration of him up there on the Shade Room, which is a popular site with black people. And News One put up something about him. And I've been arguing with not only white supremacists, I shut them down early, because I talked about how Billy Graham was nothing but another white supremacist. and I pointed out some of the little slick shit that he did. And their comeback was, well, he was friends with Dr. Martin Luther King. That was their whole comeback. And that's another thing, family. This whole thing where these white supremacists are supposed to get some kind of pass because they were somehow around Dr. Martin Luther King. Who gives a shit? You don't get no pass for that. That's like a get out of jail free card for the white supremacists. They marched with Dr. King. I knew Dr. King. I was around Dr. King. So the fuck what? He was around a bunch of agents and CIA and FBI people and killers were around him too. That's why they murdered him. I'm not impressed about somebody being around Dr. Martin Luther King. They put a bunch of idiots around him to keep tabs on him. But I'm going back and forth with, I retweeted something that News One put up. They put up an article about Billy Graham, and it was a fluff piece about the dude. And the article, the headline was, and let me read this to you real quick. I'm not going to read all of it. It says, Billy Graham's complicated relationship with Black America explained. So it says, as the nation mourned the death of America's pastor, one aspect of the Reverend Billy Graham's life especially worth highlighting is his connection to the historic civil rights movement. The Christian and the evangelist evolved from a farmer's son in the segregated South to an unlikely proponent of racial equality, intersecting with the lives of two of the most iconic Black people to ever live, Dr. Martin Luther King and Barack Obama. News One, if y'all don't get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. So I retweeted that, and one of the editors of News One, what's his name? Bruce, what is his name? Hold on, let me give y'all this brother's name. Me and him were going back and forth all day. What is this name? I'm going to give y'all this brother's name. Where is he? Where is it? Bear with me. Let me give y'all this cat's name. I like to have all this, all the names right and exact. Where's this guy's name? Hold on. Nah, I can't find him. Hold on. His name is Bruce something. I want y'all to, so y'all can go to my Twitter timeline and verify some of this stuff. Okay, hold on. Where's this fucking dude's name? There it is. There it is. All right. This guy's name, Bruce Wright, the managing editor over at News One. So Bruce was like, so what's up, Tariq? What, telling the truth? Is that, you know, is it wrong to tell the truth? And I'm like, wait a minute, Bruce, what you said wasn't true. And I said to him, and I tweeted back to him, I said, wait, Billy Graham wasn't no proponent for no racial equality. Billy Graham didn't give a shit about racial equality. And I kept bringing this up to the white supremacists. Where did Billy Graham say anything about racial equality? See, this is why you got to understand history. And this is why it's important for us to be the new media. It's up to us to tell the truth out here. This is the truth. I don't give a damn what these mainstream media outlets are trying to tell you and the Black minions are trying to tell you. The truth is, Billy Graham never did anything for Black people as a whole, as a collective. And I'm hitting them with facts and receipts. I'm hitting them with quotes and shit that Billy Graham spit. Billy Graham didn't do shit for Black people collectively. So what they keep bringing up, this is what they keep talking about, and this Bruce dude brought that up too. He was like, well, he tried to deny one of the quotes, and I had to quote it directly. He said, well, I'm not sure our story ever said he fought for racial equality, but he was a white Southerner born in 1918 North Carolina. He insisted on preaching to integrated congregations, and he bailed Martin Luther King out of jail. I think that alone made him an unlikely proponent of racial equality. I said, hell no. This is why we got to understand history. This dude, Billy Graham, you know, he had the Southern racist white audience, and what he did, he learned how to finesse the game. Billy Graham basically did a couple of photo ops with Dr. King, all this shit where they were great friends and all that. It was a photo op. He was using Dr. King for a photo op and also to get Dr. King on a leash. He bailed Dr. King out of jail, but that ain't doing nothing for the civil rights movement. The thing is, once he bailed Dr. King out of jail, it was on some, well, you know you owe me. It was that type of shit. That's what pimps do to hoes. That's an old trick. You bail somebody out of jail and then they become beholden to you because you bailed them out. That's an old pimp trick. Pimps would go down to the jail station and bail out hoes, and then the hoes got to work for them. That's an old trick. And not that Dr. King really needed him to bail him out. There were a lot of people. The church was supporting Dr. King, so Dr. King would have got out, but Billy Graham made a point to bail Dr. King out so that Billy Graham could use Dr. King as a photo op. And they talk about how Billy Graham invited Dr. King to come up to the pulpit at Madison Square Garden when Billy Graham was there doing a speech, and they prayed together. That ain't shit either. You having your one black friend that you running around the country, that ain't racial equality. That's just you tokenizing somebody. All he did was tokenize Dr. King. Because when Dr. King tried to get Billy Graham to rep for the civil rights movement, to actually speak out specifically about certain policies, Billy Graham would not do it. When Dr. King tried to get Billy Graham to come to the March on Washington and speak for him, just like Dr. King spoke for him, all of a sudden, Dr. King, my schedule. He didn't do it. It was never reciprocal. All that good friend bullshit. Billy Graham never did anything for Dr. King when Dr. King really, really needed him to speak out against systematic white supremacy. Billy Graham did not do that. And they like to talk about how Billy Graham, his church was segregated and they had these segregation ropes, and Billy Graham took down the segregation rope and said, hey, my church is now integrated. And the Klan and all these people were mad at him, blah, blah, blah. That don't mean shit either. All he did was integrate black folks' money into his pocket. He didn't integrate anything. He already had a couple of black folks going to his church. They had a rope up, a physical rope up. Billy Graham removed the rope and said, bam, racism is gone in this church. Ain't I great? That's literally all he did. And we're supposed to act like he's some kind of civil rights icon? He's not. And Negroes want to argue with you. The white supremacists, they know better. They know they're full of shit. But then when the Negroes, I've had Negroes hit me up all day. Man, don't you say that about Pastor. Don't you say that about Pastor. Pastor Graham. Pastor Graham was a good man, Lord Jesus. Pastor Graham was so good. I mean, I've had dozens of Negroes say this shit to me. Somebody in the chat room had a great point. Why was the rope up in the first place? Literally, that's all he did was remove a rope. He didn't do anything. He removed a rope and said, hey, racism ain't here no more. Basically, that's like, you can go over there and drink from that water fountain. Racism is over. Aren't I great? He didn't do shit. And I challenge anybody to show where Billy Graham spoke up for black people as a whole and spoke out against racial justice specifically. He never did. When it came to black people, it was on some, well, God is going to fix bigotry. God is going to fix it for you. God is going to fix the racism. It was that type of shit. It was that, I pray for you. It was God going to fix it. As a matter of fact, he would say little slick shit about Dr. King on the low, because when Dr. King said, little black boys and little white girls, we're going to get together and play together, then Billy Graham said some shit like, well, little black boys and little black girls are going to get together when Jesus come back, meaning never. There's a lot of little slick shit that Billy Graham did and said, but he never spoke up against black or spoke up for black people collectively or spoke out against any policies that harm black people. You can't find one. He never spoke of that shit. Never. But I tell you what he did speak about when black folks started raising up and burning some of these damn cities down, when black people said, hey, fuck this, enough is enough, we're tired of getting beat up, we're tired of this Jim Crow, we're tired of this racism, when black people started fighting back, then Billy Graham started talking about some policies. Then when black folks stood up, then you have to watch riot and stuff like that. Well, Billy Graham didn't say nothing about praying then. Billy Graham went to Congress and said, hey, why don't we get some tougher laws for these Negroes out here rioting? He didn't leave that up to God no more. He said, hey, he went to Congress a few times and said, hey, these black folks out here acting a fool. We need to get some tough laws on here. I think it's the liberals that's really making these blacks act up like this. He was talking that kind of talk. Then wasn't God no more. Then all of a sudden he knew how to get political. Man, fuck a Billy Graham. And you coon ass buck dancing bastards who caping for him. He was not a friend of black society at all. He didn't do nothing for black society. Let's stop lying. Let's stop trying to revise history because of a few photo ops. Yeah, he took a couple of photo ops around black folks, but he didn't do nothing. As a matter of fact, he helped create that Southern strategy because he was one of the first people to mesh that white supremacist Christian evangelical thing with the Republicans. He was one of the forerunners in that. He was one of the, he brought the religion of white supremacy into politics. He helped bring that in. He was a real, he was clicked in with Nixon like that. And there are tapes of him and Nixon where he's, Billy Graham is talking crazy about Jews and all types of shit. But that Southern strategy, truth be told, they got the game from Billy Graham. And the Southern strategy is basically politicians in the early 70s, they wanted to learn how to use that white supremacist hatred against black people and flip it into votes. That's what the Southern strategy is. So whenever they mention the Southern strategy, that's what it is. They're just trying to get anti-black hatred and try to flip that into votes. Meaning you make it, you use coded language. You had to, you couldn't say nigga, nigga, nigga no more. You got to codify your language. And Billy Graham was a master of that because he learned how to integrate the black dollars into his church without offending the majority of his white congregation. A few of the Klan extremists and all those people got mad, but the rest of the white supremacists, they realized, hey, we'll give these Negroes a bone, which basically we're giving them nothing. All we did was take down a rope, and white supremacy ain't about no rope in a church. It's about the rope around your neck. It's about the rope around you economically. So they could give that up. They're like, yeah, take the rope. Now let's celebrate. They didn't give up nothing, and they didn't give nothing. You gave up everything. You start giving more of your money to him because he said segregation is gone. Now you can give me all your money, not just some of it. It's too late in the game for us to be falling for the damn okie doke still. And for so-called black media to keep putting the bullshit out. This is why it's important for us to tell these stories and tell the truth. And I brought so many receipts, they can't refute nothing I said. I broke down all the receipts, but all they did, they just wanted the black dollar. But it's important for us to know who's giving us our media, who's giving us our news, and what their purpose is. It's very important. And who's working for the white supremacist establishment? Who's carrying water for them? We got to understand that. And that also brings me back to the Black Panther thing. And I know, and I've been talking about the Black Panther thing for a minute. Because, you know, it's a hot movie. It's the hottest movie out right now. Everybody in the chat room, how much money has Black Panther made now? I know the last time I checked, it was over 400 million. I got to see where it, what it's doing now. The movie's going to go to $1 billion. It's definitely going to make $1 billion. But the day after the Black Panther came out, I did my review. I did my review of Black Panther. And I said, in one scene, Killmonger, it was a character, it wasn't just one scene, by the way, it was a couple of scenes, but the Killmonger character, he was the black radical and he was the villain and he was talking a lot about black empowerment and conquering white supremacy. He was saying some real talk in the movie. And there were some scenes where he attacked black women. When he did that, and when they put that in the film, I said, right after the movie came out, when I saw that, I said, look, the white supremacists are going to let Shea Butter Twitter run with that. I already know the chess move. This is a chess move they just pulled. When I saw that, I said, look, y'all go back and listen to it. I said, Shea Butter, Twitter, and the Blabbity Blacks, the white supremacists are going to let them run amok with that. They're going to let them run amok. They're going to let them run with that and milk that for everything it's worth to demonize so-called black radical males. I already knew they were going to do it. And sure enough, days after the movie is successful, the movie's popping, and a lot of black people are like, hey, Killmonger is right. And there's a hashtag, Killmonger is right. So a lot of people are gravitating towards Killmonger, that character. A lot of people look at him as the real hero. And sure enough, the Root, Bossup, all of them jumped on the Bedwench Coon train. Let me read y'all some of the headlines of some of these Shea Butter publications. The Root. I'm just going to give you the headlines of many of them. The Root said, Killmonger was wrong and y'all know it. That dude, Jason Johnson, wrote that. Remember, I had Jason Johnson on the show and he was buck dancing for Butter Biscuits a while back when I had him call up. This is The Root. Now, understand, these are white-owned publications. Another one, Bossup. What did Bossup say? Hold on. There's a whole bunch of them I got. Hold on. Where's Bossup? Where's that one? Bossup says, you love Killmonger at the expense of black women. So this goes on and on and on and on about how black revolutionaries, or woke black men, are misogynistic. See, they're playing chess here, man. They're not playing checkers. These white supremacists, they knew what they were doing. I knew what they were going to do right before they did it. I already knew. Another site, it looks like it's connected to The Root. That same, all of those sites are all connected with the same white owners. So this one site called The Glow Up, this is their headline. Y'all can look this shit up. The trouble with hero worship is Team Killmonger is also toxic masculinity. It says is team Killmonger also team toxic masculinity. A lot of tongue twisters there. So they're running with that toxic masculinity bullshit. They're using all the bedwench Shea Butter words. All of it, like Killmonger didn't like black women. Oh, he was beating up black women. Oh, that's misogyny, toxic black masculinity. Oh, they're running with this stupid shit. So now anybody who says, hey, I like the Killmonger character, they got the bedwinches and coons right there to try to shame you. Oh, if you like him, you like misogyny. And then they tried to go the, how come the LGBT, how come they missed an opportunity for the LBGT? They're throwing that shit in there. They're throwing that LBGT thing in there now. And the thing is, my man Gump Atelian sent me some stuff today from, this is a site called The Daily Beast. And the day, before I get into The Daily Beast, and understand this, there's another website, a white supremacist site called The Dare. See, y'all got to know the names of some of these white supremacist sites. A lot of them ain't going to say KuKluxKlan.com and AltRight.com, which they do have an AltRight.com. A lot of these sites, they're known in the white supremacist community. But Be Dare is one of them. And Be Dare, this is complete white supremacist website. I mean, hardcore white supremacists, like genocidal white supremacists. Their headline said, Black Panther will be a hit, but will blacks side with the villain Killmonger? And the whole article is all about, what if black people get the wrong message, quote unquote? Are blacks going to look at Black Panther and get the wrong message? What's the wrong message? Black empowerment? See, the right message is the T'Challa character. Just let's talk about it. Let's be diplomatic. All lives matter. That's the right message. But Killmonger, you don't, that's the wrong message. It's a white supremacist website talking this shit. But back to the Daily Beast. Now, the Daily Beast, they wrote this article. And the writer is a dude named Ira Madison III. And on the Daily Beast, it says, Black Panther, don't be seduced by Killmonger's racial revolution. It goes on to read, the charismatic Black Panther villain's violent quest to dismantle white supremacy has earned him devoted fans, but it's worth remembering he's a villain for a reason. So he goes on to talk all this shit about the character, how the character was wrong, and then he goes again into that whole, yes, Killmonger makes some good points, but as the movie shows, we ought to look towards the black women for morality in this world, and I cannot root for a villain who has no respect for black women. So this black man writing for the Daily Beast is shitting on the black character who's talking about a revolution and being against systematic white supremacy. Now, remember the name. The name of this writer is Ira Madison III, okay? His name is Ira Madison III, writing for the Daily Beast. Now, a year ago, in November, not at all, it was last year, November of last year, the same writer, Ira Madison, wrote an article about the Justice League movie. All right? This is what this dude said about the Justice League movie. In Justice League, the men are finally the eye candy. Zack Snyder's superhero extravaganza may have disappointed a bit at the box office, but it certainly comes through in the hunk department. So this dude is a flaming queen. This dude is a flaming queen. And he's all hot and bothered by these white men superheroes. Now, when he's talking about these white superheroes, it sounds like a Tinder account where this nigga's trying to get a fucking date. I'm reading the article that this nigga wrote about the Justice League, and it's the gayest shit ever. I ain't knocking you for being gay, but you're supposed to be a journalist writing about a movie. This nigga sounding like his booty hole was typing the goddamn article. Listen to this nigga. I'm not making none of this up. You can look this up. This nigga's like, hold on. Where is it? Okay. The Justice League was surprisingly enjoyable. Even though the movie was a damn mess story-wise, the best part of the film is the men that they gathered around the Wonder Woman. She once again proved to be a skilled warrior, but the men in the movie were pretty much there to just look attractive. Every other line, this nigga's talking about how the white man looked in the movie. I swear y'all need to read this. This is the gayest fucking shit ever. I mean, you're supposed to be a journalist, and this nigga's trying to get some damn dick in his life. He's like, first of all, there was Henry Cavill. Cavill has always looked like a snack. I swear this nigga's saying this bullshit. He looked like a snack. But it's even more gratuitous in this film. When Superman was brought back from the dead. I don't know. Okay, where's this other shit? Hold on. It's been talked that Cavill's mustache was removed with CGI, but his chest hair was there in its full glory as Superman returns from the dead shirtless. The nigga sound like he got KY jelly on his computer when he was writing this bullshit. I can't even read. It's like a moist gay fucking novel, man. I can't even read no more of this shit. It's just too much. He's sucking the dudes off, basically. I told you, I did a show about this a few weeks ago about how the white supremacists get these gay coons to do their bidding for them. And I'm not knocking you for being gay. I'm knocking you for being a fucking coon. Because that's a real big problem. I talked about how there are a lot of moist dudes out here who are caping for white supremacy too much. We got to come to terms with that. And you know what? A gay dude emailed me. He confirmed a lot of stuff. And I wanted the brother to call up to the show because I got gay listeners. Shout out to the gay brothers and sisters out there. But the brother hit me up. He was like, yo, man, my name is such and such. I forgot where he lived. But he's like, yeah, man. You know, I'm a gay dude, but I agree with you, man. There is no gay community, man. You just got a bunch of just dudes having wild sex. Ain't no real gay community. We don't have anything. We just niggas just out here fucking each other and just doing whatever. Drugs. It's just a big mess out here. Ain't no black gay community. There is no black. This is the gay dude, gay black dude telling me. He was like, yeah, basically, in the gay, black gay community, because there is no black gay community, what black gay people try to do is get a foothold in the white gay community because they do have a designated community. They do have designated structures in the white gay community. So what this brother was saying is gay dudes basically chase white dudes all fucking day. That's what the majority, a lot of them do. They just chase after fucking white dudes. And because they feel like they've been shunned in black society, we don't have anything to give them. And, you know, it's hard enough being a black person. They have vitriol towards other black folks, so they go into white society as the token Negro with complete hatred and contempt for black society because we can't provide nothing for them, and they felt like they've been taunted and picked on, so they're like, fuck them niggas. The white establishment, they got more love for me, so I'm going to be a buck dancing coon. That's why I pointed out, if you look at a lot of coons, there's a little moistness to them. Harris Denard, that nigga who be on CNN, he got a little lisp. My man Jesse Lee Peterson. Again, I'm going to say, I think Jesse Lee Peterson is gay. He said he wasn't, but I don't know. What's that one nigga? It's some nigga named Terrence who be online. This real, real flaming queen ass nigga who's a big old coon. He literally sits up eating chicken and talking stupid shit. His name is Terrence something. Y'all know who the hell I'm talking about. Flaming as hell. You dig? That Black Hannity dude that I debated, he got a little list. He's flaming. He tried to deny it too. A lot of these dudes be gay as hell, but denying it. Moist as hell. The coon train has KY jelly on it. Terrence Williams, that's his name. Somebody in the chat room reminded me of his name. Terrence Williams, that's his name. But that's something we got to come to terms with, man. That's real shit. But the point is, family, it's important for us. We have to control the media. We have to control our media apparatus because what they're doing, they got coon minions, moist minions, bedwinch minions who will do anything to get with white mommy and white daddy. As you can see in that last article I read, that's their goal right there, to get sexual access to white men. I mean, this dude had vitriol for the Black Panther. Oh, that toxic masculinity. Oh, don't listen to that that black empowerment bullshit. Fuck all that. But when it's a white movie and white actors, oh God. Ooh, look at the chest hair. Oh Lord, they so fine. Ooh, they's a snack. The fuck are you? Come on, man. That's what they got telling our stories out here, dude. They got these demented fucks out here telling our story. Let me get on who sees on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, what's up, Tariq? This is Adrian from Atlanta.
What's up, man? What's your name?
Adrian from Atlanta.
Adrian from Atlanta.
I talked to you a couple months ago.
All right, what's on your mind, brother?
Nothing, man. I'm, I just got a question for you. So, I'm going to Texas A&M. I don't know if you remember, but I talked to you about it probably, like a month ago.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of white people down there. You know what I'm saying? And so my question is, how can I, still maintain, my level of consciousness, and still, be on top of my game amongst, a bunch of white people?
Well, shit, you ain't got no choice. You got two choices when you go there. Maintain your confidence or be a big fucking coon. Those are the only choices you got. You ain't got no choice, bro.
Right.
That's the thing. So just stop yourself when you see yourself cooning. That's all you got to do. You just got to stop yourself if you feel a coon spirit coming on.
The phone kind of breaking up, bro.
I'm saying you got to stop yourself if you feel a coon spirit coming on. When you get around them white women, don't let your eyes get to bucking. Because a lot of them white women, when they go to college, they're ready to have a little soul pole. They're ready to have a little rebel dick. And that's all it is. You dig?
Say what, brother? Okay. The phone kind of breaking up.
Okay, brother. Okay, I got to talk to you in a minute. I'm not going to keep repeating my goddamn self because this nigga's riding on a damn unicycle and the wind is blowing. But what I'm saying, brother, if you listen to the playback, don't have a coon spirit when you go down there, brother. Don't go down there and let them white women who's trying to get them a little rebel dick. That's what I call it. White women get a little rebellion sex from Negroes at college, and you think you're doing something by banging the white girl who's just being a rebel. She'll fuck your brains out, then all of a sudden, when her looks start going downhill, she become a Republican and get a job at Fox News and create all types of laws against your ass. You need to stay woke. We the thing, we get some pussy and the sisters get a little white dick in their life and brothers get them some white cooch and all of a sudden you forget everything. You think that you live in Wakanda. You think you in the Black Panther movie. You think everything is hunky-dory now. You be in fantasy land. Because you didn't fuck you a Sarah Palin. Remember, Sarah Palin had some soul pole back in college. Now look at her. Those women, don't trip on that. You got two choices when you go to college and when you go out there in the world and when you're around a lot of folks in the dominant society. You're going to maintain your consciousness and it's going to be crystallized. You're going to become more conscious or you're going to start seeping into coonery. And that's what you don't want to do. You don't want to seep into coonery. Let me see who else is on this damn phone. What's up? Who's calling? What's up? What kind of phones are y'all niggas rocking? This nigga. Thank you, brother. This nigga's calling from a CB. That nigga has a CB. He's a truck driver. I ain't never heard a nigga phone that fucked up. Shout out to the family. Man. But anyway. Anyway, man, let me get up out of here, man. Don't forget, man, like I said, this week we're going to have a Kickstarter for the Ism Radio Travel Reality Show. And the minimum goal is just 10 grand. We should get that in a day. You know, the minimum goal is 10 grand so we can get out here and travel and showcase a lot of people out here who's doing things. We got to start networking, family. It's very important for us to network and know who's who and who's where. That's very important. We got to start networking heavy so that we can communicate with each other offline. The thing is, we can't just depend on what's happening offline. We got to get feet on the ground, boots on the ground, see who's out here in the communities, see who we need to link up with out here, who's running a business, who's doing taxes, who's doing a cleaning service, who has a restaurant, who has a hot dog truck, who's a lawyer, who's a bail bondsman. We need to know all this stuff. We need to know all this stuff. Anyway, y'all see that button right there. Y'all can hit that button for the super chat. Shout out to Jay who hit that super chat button. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. Ladies and gentlemen, go to 1804 Movie to get the movie 1804. And I'm going to holla. Y'all be good.